flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. One of those thirsty Thursday down here in the studio. Not a whole lot to drink around these parts other than this old... It's good water, but...
I'll take a good drink.
Yeah, boy, it'd be nice. We had a little bartender
down
there.
I'll take
one. Oh, boss lady's bar down there. She got some alcohol, man. Go down there and get it. Let's talk about flopping, y'all.
after that last segment, I could go for a beer.
I think I've decided in against some feelings from others around here. I think I'm going to take my gloves off with y'all. I've tried to be nice with that.
Take them off, man.
I really have.
Take them off.
I feel like you just did. I've tried.
I've tried. So, look, I'm being honest.
It's not your fault the team you're a fan of has the benefit of the doubt from the refs, ultimately.
Sure. As I said, you have no data to back that up. You feel that way, and that's fine. But my team's playing next week. I guess you can go back and watch some of them old
Texans. Damn it.
No, man, yeah, I've tried. I really have. I know y'all hurt.
Somebody's in their feelings,
and
Tyler.
And I have.
Flopping. You talk about LeBron and Pat got his feelings, didn't he?
Ain't in my feelings. My team playing Sunday.
LePat Jones.
I ain't been complaining and crying all week. From the top down, feel like we got the better team.
Damn, y'all got so into that debate, I didn't even get my gold turd trophy.
12 points. One day, y'all just gonna admit, y'all just weren't good enough.
It's the first ever week without anyone winning a gold.
We're going to get to that gold, though. I do. I want to hear that gold. I am intrigued to hear that gold.
We'll get there, man. We'll let you hold your turn up for the folks on the video.
What a great fourth quarter.
We do know if the refs were involved to any degree that they'd find a way to make sure Mahomes got the gold. So
yeah. And then I know the Texans would find a way to screw up that fourth quarter, wouldn't they?
Damn it, Ron. That hurts. That cuts me deep.
Hey, how many more sacks?
Euro lower thing, that hurts.
Come on, Shaq. Hey, if one day y'all get past the Chiefs. One day y'all get
past that flopping got him there. Took him there, didn't it?
One day. it's not just you're flopping. Because you got no data to back.
Oh, there's a lot of data. I heard John McClain rattle it off last night.
What it is? What's the data?
I don't have the penalties that the...
As you said,
from a penalty from a penalty perspective, there is significant data to back it up. I heard John McClain rattling it off last night. I didn't know we were going to have a heated conversation. To be honest with you, I had no idea that you would sit here straight faced and say and not just say, "Hey, they both flop and they benefit from it." So what? Let's move on.
Did I say that?
No,
Tyler?
You bring other players into
Round
the fold
two,
instead
I
of just talk
flop.
About the topic
said
they at
all
hand.
Flop.
The point is very clear. You can't bring anybody else in the conversation.
Why? Because you make the
because
rules?
We're talking about Pat Mahomes and we're talking about LeBron James.
Okay.
And we're talking about they flop better and more often than anybody else in the game.
And so when you say, Clint, they flop more than anyone else, then, Clint, the response to that would be, no, they don't. Others flop just as much as they do. See, you get like that. That's a response back. Just because you're bringing
in not...
other players, Clint, when you say they flop more than anybody else. Damn it, we're doing it again.
No,
this
but
is
there's
not where you meant to go.
Round three, fight.
This is not where you meant to go.
The response to somebody flops is so does everybody else. Okay, that's good. Yeah, you're right. Everybody else does too.
I said he flops, and so does everybody else.
And just like the quarterback position, there's 32 quarterbacks in the league that play quarterback every Sunday, and one of them's better than everybody else at playing quarterback. Just like flopping. There's 32 quarterbacks that play. There's probably 16 or 18 that flop. One of them flops better than anybody else in the game.
And I would say LeBron Josh James is probably that guy.
LeBron James, there's a million of them out there. There's a million basketball players out there. LeBron James is the best of them all. They all flop. LeBron James flops and benefits from it better, as good as anybody I've ever seen play the game.
Yeah, LeBron, 20 years on TV more than anybody. Patrick Mahomes on TV more than anybody.
Yeah.
Of course. And you
all
want
facts.
And you want them to lose.
And I don't have any reason for them to lose. I don't care either way it goes.
I want them to lose.
In fact, we just talked about it the other day. I like to see greatness in my time. I like the fact that I saw LeBron James go back to Cleveland and win a championship.
You don't sound like it.
Oh, no, your sensitive ass don't want to hear it that way.
I'm not sensitive.
We're talking about flopping and now all of a sudden I don't want Pat to win another championship.
Hold on. But that's my thing, too. As you sound like a listener and caller. Your ass is dead red, screaming and talking loud.
Yeah.
I'm
having a heated, passionate conversation about it.
So don't call me sensitive. Hell, your ass is sensitive.
I am sensitive.
Okay, well, don't come and say, hey, Ryan, you being sensitive. Your ass is being sensitive.
I am dead sensitive.
All you Texans is being sensitive.
I am very sensitive.
Jared,
I have no problem.
What do you want to talk about?
Pat Mahomes flopping.
All right, let's go.
Hey, if you're just now joining us,
Ryan's a clown. You're a clown. Kiss my ass.
If you're just now joining us, Dead Red is over here talking about another Dead Red, Greg Grissom, Texans team president. Did not mean for that to come out that way, by the way. Houston Texans have parted ways with my boy Ginger Nation, Greg Grissom. And that news broke by Jonathan Alexander a little earlier in the 240 segment. If you listen on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, use that rewind feature. Go back and listen to Jonathan Alexander actually broke that news in the 240 segment, as well as we dug into an article that all Texans fans out there needs to make sure they go check it out, right? In the Houston Chronicle, Jonathan Alexander, why the Texans came up short of the Super Bowl hype, identity, injuries, and the O-line. I want to encourage everybody to go out there and read that, but I want to make sure this was not Jonathan Alexander's point, but I just can't, because I'm sensitive, I just can't help but sit here and stew on some of the things that we discussed when Jonathan was in here. And I think the biggest thing is the O-line part for me. Ron, and I don't think I've ever looked at it through this lens, how bad the Texans missed on this offensive line. And I don't know why this wasn't apparent to me before. Maybe we just didn't have the conversation or care to dig into it. But it became very apparent when Jonathan Alexander was in here talking about the offensive line being one of the issues this year. But just go down this list right here. In a time when Bobby Slowick, let's talk about it. Nick and D'Amico were making win-now moves and signing Stephon Diggs, signing Joe Mixon, giving pass-first tight end Dalton Schultz $12 million over 3 years, $36 million over 3 years. Being more explosive was the thing. This was the plan offensively. The left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, obviously the best money can buy, right? One of the best pass protecting tackles in the game. That one makes sense. This is where it gets real hairy. Left guard. The left guard position, they expected Kenyon Green to make a leap and signed no backup whatsoever. Had no backup plan beyond Kendrick Green, a guy that they've used at the fullback position, which, by the way, I'm not disappointed in how Kendrick played. I am disappointed that would be a backup plan at the left guard position. Expect Kenyon Green to make a leap and no backup. The center position, second year, Juice Scruggs, who it became apparent struggles processing as well as communicating defenses, to the point where he becomes the answer at guard when Kenyon Green doesn't work out. And you have to go with Jarrett Patterson at center, a former, I think, sixth-round draft pick that's been around a couple of years. Who, by the way, I think Jarrett Patterson's got a chance to probably be, I don't know about long-term, but a starter here for the foreseeable future, unless they move Juice back and sign two guards. But that's the plan at center. Right guard, Shaq Mason, was absolutely awful. Right tackle, Titus, Hell, you moved him to left guard, and your backup plan there at left guard was another rookie in Blake Fisher. Guys, this is the first time that I've thought about it across the board with, considering depth and all the moves that were made and in hindsight how this thing worked out. Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick and anybody else responsible for this offensive line, man, this was bad. With the exception of going, hey, Laramie, you're one of the best in the game. We'll pay you and keep you around. It was significantly worse than I think I've ever really paid mine to.
To think, and I agree with them, because the moves and how they made it, and however you're feeling right now, to think in your mind, you all watch Kenyon Green, to think in your mind that they just assumed that he was going to take that kind of a leap. Like, what kind of, right, remember, fellas, they were operating on the thought of, hey, we compete for it all. We went and got Danielle Hunter. We went and got Steph Diggs and traded a second-round pick for Steph Diggs. By the way, if Steph Diggs doesn't return, you just lost that second-round pick for about 7 or 8 games. You did all those things, which I ain't got no problem for. You're like, hey, man, we're going for it. We believe in CJ. We got a quarterback, and he's cheap, and this is the time to go for it. And then you said to yourself, Kenyon Green, we assume he's going to take an extra leap. And their action said it, Clint. They went out there, and who was the competition for Kenyon Green during the off? Like, who was it?
There wasn't
like,
one,
who was
there?
It? It was what? Kendrick Green was behind him. Hell, they let Michael Dieter go, who's out there starting in Washington, by the way. Like, who was it? You would at least think, all right, man, we got somebody here. We would love for Kenyon to take the job, but you would at least think they would have somebody that could be a starting level guard. No, they just said, no, we just, we're operating on the thought process. We assume he is going to take a major step. That's a hell of a gamble on a championship hoping team.
Yeah, man, it doesn't, Ron, the thing is, you said it right there, championship, at least aspiration team. Like, how do you talk about being more explosive and taking that next step offensively and change, which I don't know why the hell, again, I wanted to go back and ask Jonathan Alexander that again. Like, why would you feel the need to change so much after having such a great year offensively? But nonetheless, they did. But, boy, to think that was the moves on the offensive side of the football were this bad, ultimately, from the general manager all the way down to the moves that were made throughout the year, man. It's just wild to think that, I mean, you're 1 for 5, boys. You're 1 for 5. You're one for five. You're 1 for 5, and that one is Tunsil. You don't have a left guard. You don't have a right guard. That is, if Juice is your center, and Juice still, the scariest thing about, I would rather them say Juice is a high-level processor and a high-level communicator, but don't have enough lead in his ass to get it done and be like a bulldozing type center. Like, the fact that he can't process and communicate at a high enough level to take Jarrett Patterson's job, like, that's scary at the center position, right? And I mean, I guess you got the two tackles taken care of. The middle of this offensive line is still in as bad a spot as it was a year ago. Hell, it's maybe even worse because you signed Shaq Mason. You had Shaq Mason, and you thought he would have played better. So, I don't know, man. I just, when Jonathan was in here, I know it's not what he meant. And again, these are not the thoughts of Jonathan Alexander, by the way. These are all thoughts that I had as we were working through his article. In the Houston Chronicle, again, y'all need to go check that out. Why the Texans came up short of the Super Bowl hype, identity, injuries, and the O-line. Ron, we got a little, looks like we got, not breaking news, but look like we got a little news on the Astros front that I don't think people are going to want to hear about here, man. I don't think this is what we want to. This ain't what Astros fans are going to want to see.
All right, well, we'll give that on the other side. Some Astros, some potential Astros affecting news, and a little bit of the Rockets. How about the Rockets last night? That was a fun watch. They might have a little something extra. They might have a little Team of Destiny thing that's coming up next right here live on the Drive.
It feels huge.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As there is some news that Clint was talking about, baseball news that could affect the Astros. Although, Clint, the way that they seem to be operating business, I don't know if it would have. We talked about the outfield situation with the Astros. And right now, if you go look on depth charts, it says Jazz McCormick in left, Jake Meyers in center, and Taylor Trammell in right field. That looks a lot different than other championship contenders that the Astros have had here, and it looks a bit different than other teams around the league that are considered championship contenders, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like other teams like that. And right now, we saw the other day the Orioles, their home run hitter Santander, he left and he goes to the Blue Jays. That was an outfield option. Was a 40 plus home run hitter last year, and then now Jurickson Profar, who had a breakout season for the Padres, had some pop, has some speed, good outfielder. He goes to the Atlanta Braves. So that's another one off the list for the Astros who could be in their outfield. And I don't believe the news. If you missed that, there could be an option if Bregman returns, if the door was open, that Altuve would go to the outfield. I don't think that is going to happen either. But it looks like, you know, barring another move, they may run with what they have on the roster right now. And I just don't know, Clint and Tyler, if what they have on the rest of the roster is strong enough to pick up that. Now, maybe it's strong enough to win the West, right? I don't know. Maybe it's strong enough to win the West because the Angels have been in transition for like 5 years. The Mariners, you think they have talent, but they're struggling. I mean, the division isn't, and of course, the A's are the A's. The division isn't a scary division. There's not another great team in it. But that doesn't, their starting pitching, which I think is solid to good, especially depending on how Hunter Brown improves this year. Their bullpen, they've got some heavy guys at the back end, but I just don't know if the rest of them are strong enough to pick up that part of the lineup.
Well, this, to me, Ron, it goes back to, I mean, the whole, and I hate this in any time, right? And I understand why I'm not a damn GM, but the thought of like letting just player after player after player that is available right now, and what I would say, any way you slice the Astros situation, that they're in dire need of another outfielder or of a lead outfielder, if we're being honest, right?
Somebody better than the other two.
Better than everybody they got, not named Yordan Alvarez, not including him in the bunch, right? I mean, they're in desperate need of that. And the more you sit here and watch outfielder after outfielder after outfielder go somewhere else, and then you just, because my thought is always the Astros are always real active at the trade deadline. You know, they'll answer whatever, they'll fill whatever voids they have. But the problem is when that time comes, is that player going to be available? Hell, is a player going to be available that's better than what you got? We have no idea. So anytime one comes off the board that I know the majority of the Astros fan base has their eye on, like Profar was 20 minutes ago, that's a rough look.
Yeah, it is a tough one. We'll see what they do. Right now, you would think they're going to run here. I do want to get to that gold, to Tyler's gold, because I feel bad because Tyler had a bronze.
He had a
silver turd, and
yeah, I'm prairie dogging, man.
The silver turd just took off. So I do want to get to the gold, and I do think this could be a good time. But I want to first
touch. It's an important award.
It is, but before we get there, I do want to touch first the Rockets last night.
Mm.
That was I said this earlier in my time. I don't know that I've seen Rockets like take over my timeline, Clint, in a fashion from just a game. A game where the conversation is, oh, why did they do this? Oh, big shot here. Oh, what was Eason doing collectively? Like I remember at one point I'm tweeting whatever, I'm looking at it, and there's like 50, 60, like that's in a row of the foul, the flagrant foul on Eason, or fouling a 3-point shooter up two. So to me it was like, damn. Like it felt like for the first time the Rockets within, you know, social media fan base of Houston was being talked about the way that you hear the Astros being talked about in individual games or the Texans.
I see with the turning of the page we talked about yesterday of how excited I am about seeing the Rockets versus the Astros. Sounds like, according to the social media, NBA social media, sounds like there's a lot of folks around Houston that seem to be leaning into that. I don't know what it is, man. That game last night was for me, Ron, it just validated what we talked about yesterday. Like when I said it yesterday, I was like, man, did I really just say that? Yeah, I mean, do I really feel that way? And I went home last night and I flipped that damn game on, and I had a hard time getting up to go to the bathroom. I had a hard time getting up to put my little girl down. Like I was like, damn, I got to get back in there and see this, man. I didn't quite go Ron Hughley and watch it on my phone, but I thought about it a couple times. It just validated to me that, yeah, man, I'm more excited about the Rockets right now than I am the Astros. And I'm not saying that because, look, the Astros, we can get into, we know how many games there are in a season and how everybody says it's a long season, so we don't want to get too emotional about that, right? But the Rockets last night, how I felt getting up from the game and what I was going to miss, and then on top of that, the way that they were able to win that game. Now, the very ending was, right, they should have lost the game. But the way that they were able to navigate that game, in the first half, it was all about the bench. And in the second half, and in some of the first half as well, but Fred VanVleet was nails. He was lights out, right? You didn't get much out of Jalen Green. Didn't get much out of your best scorer, Jalen Green. Amen Thompson had some rough stretches. He gave you 16. You look at Shingun. He was battling down there. I love the way he plays. I love watching him play with the physicality that he plays with. So yeah, man, I just, not only did it validate my feelings about wanting to turn to the Rockets and being more excited about that, but also their standing of being second in the West and being one of the better teams overall in the league right now. I think they validated that last night beating the Cleveland Cavs. Now, again, you can argue they laid a big egg at the end right there. Should have won that game. But still, man, getting out of there with a win, man, was big for the Rockets.
Yeah, they did. Like, yeah, you don't want to give up a 19-0 run and go 7 minutes without scoring in the fourth quarter, especially to a team like Cleveland. That is not ideal. But they hung in there. Like, when that I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Dean Wade or the other kid. They hit a three in the corner. And it's like 104-98 at this point. And they had gone, and I'm like, a long stretch out scoring. I'm like, damn. They're pulling away. But no, they came back and they hung in and it just seemed like it was like, hey, the basketball gods or whatever are looking their way. Right? They were fortunate in some spaces. They were looking their way and they made it happen. So I think you mentioned this earlier, a game in which during, at least lately, Jalen Green has been the one really kind of carrying this group. He had an off night. But last year, if you watched the Rockets, last year, his off nights, Clint, could end him up on the bench.
Yeah.
like his off nights, because usually Jalen's off nights just into, if Jalen ain't scoring, then nothing else happens.
Right.
Defensively, he's not doing nothing. He's not. Like, you'll look in there and there's nothing in the rebound department. There's nothing assist, nothing like that. But he wasn't rolling, and he was still able to impact the game. So, to me, that was a big performance from the Rockets last night.
Yeah, this feeling, the statement that was made, the my excitement level through the roof. I know Tyler wanted to go see actually a couple of games, and he had that January 22nd Cavs game on the list. Which, as you mentioned earlier, that freeze may have gotten in the way of that one, but we definitely got to go see a game at some point.
Yeah, no, it is a fun watch. If you have not seen them, if you've not been watching them, if you haven't kept in, this is the team again. We've talked about this here lately. They have been maintaining being the number two team in the West. They're the only team in the NBA to have beaten OKC, who's the number one team in the West, and now Cleveland after they did that last night, who's been the top team record-wise in the league and obviously in the East. So They are rolling, and they've got things clicking right now at this point with a lot of confidence. As Fred said after the game, we know we can beat anybody. We can play with anybody, and you can see that confidence growing. All right, we talked to Jonathan Alexander. He talked about a lot of the reasons he was hearing from in the building while the offense struggled. But let's just take this, Ramirez. Do we believe, and do you believe, that Bobby Slowick deserves to be fired now? After his 2 years, after everywhere here, do you believe Bobby Slowick deserves to be gone? That's next.
Is Slowick losing it?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, some more news. Now, we talked about the Profar news earlier going to the Braves, how that may affect the Astros. This, I want to say again, this is not official, and we will get to the Bobby Slowick, does he deserve to be fired conversation. But it looks like an Astros great could be on the move, and that is Ryan Pressly. According to Bob Nightingale and others, Ryan Pressly is close to being acquired by the Chicago Cubs. And that would be the second time and second deal the Astros have made with the Cubs. Obviously, another Astros great player in Kyle Tucker was traded to the Cubs. This would be the next one, Ryan Pressly. It is not official yet. Tyler will come in with the breaking news to let you know about that. But I'd be intrigued to see what it is that comes back their way. Is it more prospects? I wonder how much could come back their way with his drop in production over the last year and with his contract. So it looks like Ryan Pressly will be on the move. From a baseball perspective, you know, to me, it felt like he was kind of losing a little steam, and you got Abreu and you got Hader at the back end, but so you understand that. But it is still a deal of damn. There's Ryan Pressly, a guy who had an argument to be the World Series MVP in the last one you won, as he was closing things down, and you knew for years there, Clint Tyler, he was money when he came in the game to shut it down. So it could be the end of Ryan Pressly.
Well, look, at one point, from a postseason perspective, he was the best closer in the game. You're talking about a guy that when he was at his best was one of, if not the best, when it mattered the most. And definitely a huge part of what went on with the Astros. But to your point, when you got Abreu sitting there and obviously a lot cheaper, I don't know how you don't move one of these guys, and Pressly just happens to be the odd man out, and of late hasn't been as good as he was a couple years back.
No, I have an update here for y'all. All right. No, nothing official, so don't freak out. But this very conversation, this is an important piece just coming out from Chandler Rome, who of course covers this Astro squad very closely. Did you already cover this?
No.
Chandler Rome says Houston Astros setup man Ryan Pressly has not waived his no-trade clause. Sources tell The Athletic and Chandler Rome. Teams have checked in, but he has not, all caps, waived his no-trade clause. He is a member of the Astros for now.
All right, that's a big key. He does have a no-trade. So, Clint, he very well may just say, to hell with it, I want to be here. Like I I don't want to leave Houston to go to Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago's not it, right?
Yeah,
Man. I mean, he does
hold some cards.
Well, them damn no trade clauses in these contracts make a world of difference, man. And him being able to he holds all the cards in a sense of directing where he wants to go if they want to move him. So, look, we'll see. I was not as down on Ryan Pressly as most people were last year. I understand he struggled, obviously. Don't get me wrong. I had no confidence when he was on the bump. But, I think I like the guy being part of the team. I like the guy coming out of the pen. And I wouldn't hate it if he were still here, but I would understand if one of those three have to go, I would imagine it's him.
Yeah, that's a big part of that. We'll keep
We'll keep you updated and keep our eye on that situation. Someone just texted in. I'm guessing the gold medal got delayed because Tyler had to switch to show. We are going to get to that. And Tyler, I do want to get to that. But first, can we go to this thought? We heard what Jonathan Alexander had to say. If you missed that, he was on with us at 2:40. You can catch that as he had in-depth conversation with players, coaches, front office members, guys, and people a part of the Texans organization. He said the three big reasons that he's hearing from inside the building of why there was such struggles with the offense was, one, the injuries, the guys that they refer to as the Big Five in Nico, Steph, Tank, Joe Mixon, and Dalton Schultz only played two games together. So injuries, they talked about offensive line and stuff like that as a factor. Also just flat out execution from players and including the coaching staff as well, executing the offense. And then thirdly, just how bad the offensive line struggled throughout the year. Those were the big things. And I'm looking at this, and as I said, you can text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well, if you so please. Does Bobby Slowick deserve to be fired after his 2 years here? Year one, 342 yards per game, 22 points per game, 97 rushing yards per game, and 244 in terms of passing yards. C.J. Stroud was number one game-to-game basis in the NFL in passing yards per game. This year goes and drops from 342 to 319 total yards per game. And 22.2 drops to 22 points per game, so not a huge drop there. It does. The rush yards do go up with Mixon from 97 to 112, but the passing yards really drop off per game, 244 to 207. Do you believe it is in a situation, based off some of the stuff we're hearing reported from Jonathan Alexander, some of the stuff you watched over the entire year, do you feel like you're at a place where Bobby deserves to be fired after 2 years?
Deserves being the operative term there, right? No, I don't. I don't think he deserves to be fired. I think you, the first year was absolutely tremendous, given first year play caller, first year head coach, first year quarterback, and a bunch of guys that we didn't know at the time, but were going to emerge with Bobby Slowick being the guy. And then this year, obviously, was a disappointment. It is interesting. You put those numbers out there, and if you just look at those numbers, you don't look at it and go, oh, that's a bad year. I mean, look, you got better in the run game. You can argue that it's closer to a winning brand of offensive football if you don't lead the league in passing.
The points are similar, game. But the yards in passing, yeah, that's a pretty
big jump. So I would say no, man. I mean, I think was it a rough year? Yeah, could DeMeco justify moving on from Bobby Slowick if he wanted to? Absolutely. But deserve, I would say no. There's, as I've said multiple times, for me, man, there's a lot of things that need to change on this team for this offense to get where they need to go. And I think Bobby Slowick is down that list. Now, could you change and bring in a different coordinator, and that coordinator, the stars align, and him capture lightning in a bottle with this group? Sure, absolutely. And we could look in hindsight and say it was Bobby. But as we look at it right now, I think there's several things that if you stick with Bobby, a third year for really, let's be honest, C.J. Stroud in the same system without having to change terminology, and you get the things around him, the O-line coach, the head coach holds some people accountable. Maybe you get that interior offensive line turned. You figure out who that second receiver is going to be. I think Bobby could put together another year like he did CJ's rookie year for sure.
Yeah, as I see some rolling in, Guy G, no more second half drought. I would move on from Bobby. Bobby needs to be fired here from the text line. Clint, I would understand if the Texans went into the direction and said, you know what, he's just not reaching CJ in particular.
Yep.
CJ's the most important thing in the organization, right? And
God bless, brother.
Whatever it has, and I think there are a lot of circumstances that have led to it, But CJ took a step back, right? There's no way in hell, fellas, that we would have walked in here this year, the start of this year, and said to ourselves, all right, when they're talking about the best young quarterbacks.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Under 25, who wants them? That C.J. Stroud wouldn't even really be in the conversation with Jaden Daniels. And I feel like that's probably where we are right now.
Yep, I agree.
Like Jaden Daniels has jumped. So now we'll see what his year two looks like. But I'm just saying right now, if we did a deal posing people around the country, who is the quarterback under 25 you would want? I think unanimously it would be Jaden Daniels. And I think coming into last year, it would have been C.J. Stroud with a bullet. At least some people would say it. So when you look at the drop that he had this year, you gotta look at, all right, well, who's the person that is in charge of working with this? You look at the quarterback coach, you look at the OC, and if you feel like he's not reaching him to his best, then I get the move. But for me, I'm with you, Clint. I would say no because I'm sorry, man. I can't give my man that offensive line and my man have his number one weapon and Nico Collins be gone for 6 weeks and then my man have Tank Dell be hurt and be left with just Nico by himself. And then at one point for about two games, he's got no Nico, no Steph Diggs, and just him and just Tank Dell. Like, I cannot. The plan was those skilled guys, and they only played two games together with that offensive line, right? Like, I don't think the decisions of the offensive line was on Bobby Slowick. Yeah. Now, I think Bobby Slowick had to work with what he got, but I don't think Bobby Slowick was like, hey, guys, Kenyon Green's going to take a leap here and we don't need to have anything helped. All right, like, you know, I don't think that is the case. So if they did it, I get it. But it is hard for me with that offensive line that handcuffs so many things that you can do. Yes, some of it is on him. And I hear Seth a lot in the mornings talk about he's a part of that, sure. But come on, man. Like, this is like the offensive line coach going to lose his job too probably. But come on, man. Those are elementary stunts that they haven't picked up where you know NFL coaches, offensive line coaches and offensive coordinators, especially coordinators who was getting head coaching looks the year before, don't coach it like that.
Yeah.
Like, every time, and we were talking about it during the break, Clint, every time you see receivers in the same areas running routes together, like, you, every time you think Bobby Slowick drew it up that way, that's how he did. Like, I don't know. I don't think the players helped him.
Well, yeah, Ron, if you and the assistant coaches, if you want to just, hey, this is the Bobby Slowick umbrella, he's the offensive coordinator, he's responsible for all of these things, whether it's the depth of the routes or the O-line communication, the O-line being able to execute basic D-tackle, D-end twist, the quarterback being able to redirect the being able to or not being able to redirect the protection kind of deal. I think it's very fair, right? If we're just going to have a real quick conversation, it's very fair to say Bobby's the OC. Bobby's responsible for all that. Boom, we got to have a change of top. Okay, I get it. No, but the reality of it is, if you go beyond Bobby, right, there are some underlying issues that if you fix them, things will get significantly better, right? And are you willing to roll the dice with fixing some things underneath Bobby knowing that Bobby ain't got that kind of power anyway, are you willing to make some adjustments and fix some things under Bobby to see if Bobby can have a can get back this thing back on track, or are you ready to clean house and start completely over? The interesting thing to this, Ron, is like, it's like the mid-season OC fire and change the OC, right? It's just, I don't think people realize like the step back you take offensively and how you even practice, how you chart practice, how you design and create practice when you've got a first-year play caller and a quarterback that's a first-year in this system, like you're starting over from scratch. And so your expectations have to change. That is a huge decision to make.
Yeah. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock fire. Some news that will keep you updated on the latest thing with the Astros and Ryan Pressly. Some news movement change within the Houston Texans. They parted ways with a member of the organization. We'll let you know about that. And much, much more going on in the sports world. 5 o'clock fire, that's coming up next.